Diocese of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Rick Tyler.
I'm Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we might sound a little funny because we're doing this remotely. We're all three in different areas. We want to welcome you here to the program. It's now 2021. It's hard to believe, guys, isn't it? The time goes by so quickly. It's actually January 24th, Sunday. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. I want to thank Ray Powers for keeping us on the air, even though we haven't been in the studio for a while. And I know a lot of people are thinking that they're glad the year 2020 is behind us. We've got a new year we're starting, and we just want to move forward in God's Word and get people ready for the second coming of Christ. Amen, guys?
Amen.
So I want to apologize for the maybe the lack of sound quality, but you know that God has given us the ability to have the technology to be able to meet. I can see Rick and Ed on my screen because we're using that platform called Zoom. And so I'm actually in the studio with the equipment. That's why it's nice and clear. Ed is in his home, and he has a nice microphone, and Rick is in his home. They're going through some remodeling, so he's kind of sitting out on their sun porch, aren't you, Rick? I can see you there. And so,
yes, I am.
Yeah,
but it's enclosed. I'm not out in the weather.
No, it's here. It's a little chilly. It's wintertime here. I'm getting a little feedback. So, guys, I just want to say that for everybody who's tuning in, please bear with us through these things. You know, everything sounds a little bit different, but we want to move forward in ministry either way. But first of all, before we get to the Bible study topic, I just wanted to thank Ray Powers for everything that he's been doing for us here at Prophecies of Hope. And also, we want to let you know that you can contact us. If you want to contact me, and I apologize for the phone ringing, if you want to contact me, you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com. And Rick, how do they reach you?
They can reach me at rick@prophecyhope.com.
And you can reach me, ed@prophecyhope.com.
There you go. So if you can't remember our names, you can send an email, just a general email to office@prophecyhope.com, and we will get that. Also, Ed, tell us a little bit about what takes place at Prophecies of Hope during the week, if you don't mind.
Well, it's been pretty exciting, actually. We have a Wednesday night Bible study. And currently, we have a large group of people tuning in through Zoom to our study, and it's been wonderful. We also have our normal church service, which is on Saturday or the Sabbath, and we have a Bible study that starts at 9:30, and then we have our worship hour at 11 o'clock in the morning.
And that's all Eastern time because we're in the state of Virginia, right here in Stanton, Virginia. And yes. Ed does a lot of teaching for the Sabbath school, and Rick and Ed and myself, we kind of share the platform for speaking. And so you can also, how do they find our sermons, Rick? Where would they find those?
You can go to prophecyhope.com, and that's our website. We have a tremendous amount of sermons, online presentations. There's some of our radio programs there, aren't there?
Yes, there are. There are. I don't have any posted from last year. I've got to get caught up in that. It's just, you know, things get so busy sometimes, but I hope to have those up very soon. So I don't know if there's anything else, you guys, that we want to share. Just every Sunday at 7 p.m., we're right here on New Visions Radio, and we're just grateful to have this spot. You know, we've been here for, I think it's 7 years now. Isn't that hard to believe? We're going on 8 years this year. So what a blessing it's been. So I'll tell you what, to get our Bible study started, Ed, would you have a prayer for us, please?
Sure, let's just bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful for this opportunity to come together again and to study your word. We humbly ask for wisdom and understanding of the things that we read in your word and to send us the spirit of truth to guide us. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So, Rick, you had, what are we talking about today? What's our topic?
Well, I think the topic is unity. We're hearing a lot about this word unity, everyone coming together to unify, come together and put aside our differences and see if we can come together, make the world a better place. That's what we've been hearing. We just had a new president installed in the United States, and I listened to his inauguration speech. That had a lot to do with unity. In the past 2.5 to 3 years, a person who many people consider a religious, the most prominent religious leader in the world, the Pope, has come out with two large encyclicals that have talked about unity, bringing people together. And it seems like the whole world seems to be just going down this path where people need to come together. And on the surface, that doesn't seem like such a bad idea. It seems like a good idea for people to be unified. But my question is, what are we unified about? What right. do I have to give up in belief system, in my doctrines, in the way that I live my life in order to be unified with other people or the rest of society or maybe a religious movement? And do those things that I give up, are those things biblical things? Do I abandon the truth? Do I abandon biblical principles or what's right and wrong according to the scripture, according to God's righteousness, in order to be unified with other people? I think that's the question we need to be asking.
Yeah, I think that's...
So to start out our study, Ed, I'd like to ask you a question. You prayed in your prayer for God to send us the Spirit of truth to teach us all truth. I think that's really important. Where is that found in Scripture? And let's talk about that a little bit, because if God sends us his Spirit of truth, and we all accept the Spirit of truth, wouldn't we all be taught the same thing by the Spirit of truth?
Okay, there's a couple of places in the book of John that talks about that. One is John 14, and the actual prayer that I prayed is found in John 16. But let's go to John 14 first.
Okay.
Why don't we start with verse 6, because we're talking about truth. That's the question you asked. And this is the modern King James Version. It says, Thomas said to him in verse 5, "Is Lord, we do not know where you go, or how can we find the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And if we continue down in this chapter, in verse 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, so that he may be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you." This is Jesus speaking. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." So this tells me that Jesus is speaking about himself. The Spirit of truth is the Spirit of Christ.
So when we talk about when we say that the Spirit of truth is the Spirit of Christ, what we're saying is that somehow we can actually, he's our mediator, right? We're told that in the Bible, that he mediates between us and our Heavenly Father. So when I pray, or you pray, or we pray, I noticed that in your prayer, you said, "In Jesus' name we pray." Well, that's mediation. He takes that prayer to our Heavenly Father. Well, in the same way, our understanding as a mediator, it doesn't just go in one way, does it, Rick?
No, it certainly doesn't. A mediator mediates in both directions. That's what a good mediator does. So if Christ is our mediator with the Father, he's not only bringing our prayers to the Father, but he's bringing messages and understandings to our minds from our Heavenly Father.
So this, since Jesus, I think, Ed, you started in 14:6, it says where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So if you ask for the Spirit of Truth, you're asking for Christ's presence, Christ's Spirit to direct us, right?
Yes.
And so this can cause, believe it or not, this topic itself can cause great division among Christians. And we're talking about unity, yet this topic here can be so controversial among so many people. Isn't that true?
Yes. Let me take you to John 16, because this is where the prayer comes from that I pray. And what I want to do is read verses 13 through 15. And there's a few things that we need to talk about in these verses to help people understand what's going on here. But in verse 13, it says, however, when he, this is Jesus again speaking, however, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, he shall speak, and he will announce to you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will receive of mine and will announce it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and I will announce it to you. So if you look at verse 13, this should sound familiar, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, he shall speak. Jesus says the same thing about himself. In John 14, he says that, in verse 10, it says, do not believe that I am the Father and the Father is me. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of myself, but the Father who dwells in me, he does the work. And we can find that same thing in John chapter 12. If we go down to the last portion of the chapter, in verses 49 and 50, he says, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is life everlasting. Therefore, whatever I speak, even if the Father said to me, so I speak. So when in John 16, you know, Jesus is talking to the third person about the Spirit of Truth, that he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he hears. So when he says he will announce, he will receive of mine and will announce it to you, he's just simply saying that the things that the Father has are mine. And therefore, that's why he said he will take of mine. He's really saying that God is working through him, speaking through him.
So just to go ahead, Rick, you look like you were going to say something. You go right ahead.
I was. What's important to me is this Spirit of Truth in John 16, 13. It says he will guide you into all truth. Hmm. That's the promise.
That's unity, isn't it?
It is unity, isn't it?
Yeah. So
if everybody in the whole world knew the truth beyond a shadow of a doubt, there wouldn't be any doubts about anything. There wouldn't be any fake news, would there?
That's so true. You know, that's one of the problems. It's hard to know these days, especially, you know, when we turn on the computer, the news, whatever it is. It's hard to know truth from error because there's so much conflict. So, you know, keep in mind, we're living in an information age where we've got everything right at our fingertips. But the more data there is, the more garbage there is to sift through. It makes it that much more difficult sometimes. So knowing the truth, knowing and understanding is so important. Go ahead, Rick. You had a thought.
So, you know, if you and I watch the same news program on the same station at the same time, today I can choose to believe what they're saying.
Right.
And you can say, oh, that's hogwash. I don't believe anything they're saying.
Right.
And honestly, that's happening every day.
Yes, it is.
Not only right here in our country, but around the world. We don't know what to believe. But so this text, John 16, 13, is an incredible promise.
It is.
That Christ, the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Christ, Christ himself, will teach us all truth.
Yeah.
That's incredible to me.
And the thing is... Go ahead. Keep going. I'm sorry.
What a tremendous blessing. What a tremendous promise. Because we don't have to worry about lies anymore if we stick to God's word.
Amen.
God's word doesn't tell us lies at all. It tells us the truth.
That's right. And I apologize, Rick. There's a little delay, so I don't mean to talk over you there. And so that's the thing. Oh, go ahead, Ed. I see you want to speak.
Well, go ahead. I want to take us to John 17 next, because we're going to talk about truth and unity.
Okay, very good. Because I have a text that I'd like, once we do that, there's a text that I want to ask a question for the sake of everybody listening, because there's some texts that come to mind that we should consider. But, you know, talking about this choosing to believe and knowing what the truth is or what it isn't, here's the key. When Jesus communicates through his Spirit to people, it's not going to be different words in my ear or in my mind. He speaks truth all of the time. Now, I might choose to do something different, and that's where the disunity comes. But if we're all in the Spirit and we all believe and want to follow Christ, we will all come to the same conclusion, and we will be unified in that conclusion.
All right, Mark, can I ask you to read a scripture for me in John 17?
Sure.
If you can read verses 17 through 21.
Okay, John chapter 17. This is the Gospel of John. And verse 17 through 21?
Yes.
This is Jesus speaking. It says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me."
Now, isn't that talking about unity?
Yes.
United in the truth of God's word, united in Christ.
Yes.
You know, this may be hard to understand, but if we keep reading, let me read the next few verses, starting in 22. "And I have given them the glory which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them," this is Jesus speaking, "I in them, and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." So if Christ is in us and the Father is in him, it makes us united with them both.
Yes, that's right.
What better unity is there to have in this world?
You can't. There's
no better unity.
There is no better unity. In fact, you know, the unity that God had given to Adam and Eve in the garden, that the two may become one flesh, this is what he had in mind. In other words, they would think alike. Their goals would be the same. They would do things together in unison, but yet they were distinct individuals. And just like us, we have different personalities. You might like the color red. I might like the color green. We might have different things that we enjoy doing. But when it comes to our understanding of God's word and a sense of morality, we are one in the faith. Go ahead, Ed.
I want to go to Ephesians 2 next.
Okay, Rick, did you have a thought before we go to Ephesians?
Well, no, we can go to Ephesians.
Okay.
I want to stay in Ephesians when Ed gets done, because I want to tell you what I found when I did a word search for unity in the King James Bible. But
okay.
Let's go to Ephesians 2.
All right. I want to look at Ephesians 2, the end of the chapter. And starting with verse 17 through 22. Mark, do you mind reading that for us?
No, I don't mind at all. Ephesians 2, 17 through 22.
Yes.
It says, "And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off, to those who were near, and to those who were near," I'm sorry, "for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
Okay, here in Ephesians, Paul is talking to the Gentiles who were once afar off from the gospel because they were not part of the Jewish nation. Now he's telling them we have, through Christ, we have both have one access. We have access by one Spirit to the Father, talking about both the Jews and the Gentiles. And how is this? It's Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, whom we're built around as in terms of building a building together, fitly framed together, grows into a holy sanctuary in the Lord for a dwelling place of God through the Spirit. Again, that unity being built together as a dwelling place for God. Remember in the Old Testament, God told Moses, build me a sanctuary so I may dwell among you.
Right. Yeah, he wants to be with his people, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So, Rick, you were going to share a word search, I think.
So I just, in the King James Bible program that I have, I just typed in the word unity. And it only occurs three times in the King James Version.
Okay.
Two of them are in Ephesians chapter 4.
Okay.
And I think we should go there since we're right here in Ephesians anyway.
Okay, let's do that.
They're both in Ephesians 4, verse 3 and verse 13. So I think it would be a good idea for us to read through this section of Ephesians 4.
Okay, let's do it.
So I'm going to start in verse 1, if that's all right.
Yes, and you're reading from the King James Version, right? Ephesians chapter 4.
That's correct. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Hmm. Yeah. So there, that explains the kind of unity that's a biblical, a godly unity, doesn't it?
So if someone says to me, you know, you have some strange doctrines, you need to give up those doctrines so that you can be part of the growing unity that's in the world.
Hmm.
You need to give up these doctrines that talk about that when you die, you're really dead. Or you need to give up these doctrines that have anything to do with the law of God or his Ten Commandments or anything like that. Those are old doctrines. Those aren't useful to society today. But see, that is... I'm just saying that is not what the Bible is teaching. The Bible is teaching unity in what the Bible says.
Yes.
Unity in what Christ teaches us.
Yes. In fact, I don't know, in the world today, it just seems like that's the problem, Rick. For the sake of this word called unity, I see a lot of Christian people who want to please God compromising for the sake of unity. But we can't compromise our morality, our godly values, the traits that are talked about in Galatians chapter 5. We cannot compromise for the sake of this unity, it's going to cause sometimes disunity.
I think it would be good to go to like Galatians 5, but first I want to address, these are the two places in Ephesians where the word unity, there's another place in scripture where this word unity is used, and it's in the Old Testament. It's in Psalms 133, and it's in verse 1. And okay. I think it's important that we just go there and talk about it, because it's essentially the same thing we've been talking about. There's when God brings everybody together and he teaches them his truth, everyone will be unified. And yes. I think we see that in this text in Psalms 133, and I'm going to read verses 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." And this may need a little explanation. It's referencing here the high priest, Aaron, the first high yes. priest that God put in for
yes.
the earthly
tabernacle. That's Moses' brother is who that's talking yeah. about. Yeah.
And you can read about his anointing, how they poured this oil on his head, and it did run down all the way down and it dripped his
garments. Battery 100%.
One moment, Rick. Hold on. I apologize for that. Go ahead.
It's represented Christ. And what Christ would do, those things in a practical sense in our lives. So when Christ received the Spirit after his ascension, it says in the first few chapters of Acts, this is what Christ is pouring. He's giving the Spirit to us that he received on himself. And so it's just handed down to us. And this is what is being said here about Aaron being anointed. This oil represents the Spirit being poured out on Aaron as the high priest. And as it drips down, it comes down, comes to everybody else that he has influence over as the high priest. Christ being our high priest, he gives us of his Spirit.
Yes, he does. Can you yes, hear man. Me? Can you still hear me? Because my speaker cut off and I had to restart it while you were talking. Go ahead, Ed. Continue on. Sorry.
What you're saying, Rick, is that we need to be united with God to be able to experience that unity. Be careful when we hear this call for unity from different places, not only in the U.S., but in the world. We need to look and see what they're asking us to be unified in. And the reason I bring that up, because I want to go to Isaiah chapter 5, just real quick. And I want to read verses 20 and 21. It says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those wise in their own eyes and bring in their own sight." To me, this is saying, and I see this in the world we live in now, people are calling evil good and they're calling what yes. is good evil.
Yes, that's right.
And so if we're not united in Christ and in the Word of God, what are we being asked to unite in? The things of the world, the things that God speaks out against.
I think that's the whole point of this program today, is what are we being asked to unite in? And what are we being asked to give up so that we can be united? Are we being asked to give up the good things that God has shown us? To unite in something that's evil?
Well, if we, you know, we can look at a couple of texts. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Ed. Or Rick.
We were going to go to Galatians 5 is what you suggested.
Yes, I was. I just, while we turn there, if we go to Galatians 5, this text that Ed just read in Isaiah, You know, this is what I see today. You know, good is bad, left is right, up is down, in is out. Everything is backwards. It's just, and there's, you know, it's kind of like, well, you're pushing me to do something that I don't want to do. Well, you know, I'm sorry, but that's just in this world that we live in. If I want to live a life of a Christian, then I want to be called to do things that I don't necessarily personally want to do. Do you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? In other words, there are things that I selfishly want to do that God says, "This you shouldn't be doing this." Let's, and Galatians kind of points that out, doesn't it?
So are you saying that God has a better plan for your life than what you do, Mark?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah, anybody that's tuned into this program, you've heard that, but I'm going to ask Rick to state that once again, if you don't mind, Rick. I think it's a good point for people to hear.
And what's that? Well, that God has a better plan for our lives than we do.
Yeah, how did that come up? You remember when the first time that I've ever heard that saying was you and your wife expressed it to me.
Yeah, it was years ago, probably I would say I remember the date, actually. It was January 7th, 2005.
Okay.
And that was a Friday.
Wow.
Okay. It could have been a Thursday that led into a Friday, because it was Thursday night, I believe. And I was in a very difficult spot. I'd lost almost everything in my life. I'd lost my family. I had, you know, I was just at the lowest point that I could possibly be. And Mary and I...
Mary's your wife now. You're Mary's your wife, right?
Yeah, she's my wife. We've been married 15 years. She, almost 15 years. We were praying. This is before we were married. And she... We were trying to decide, you know, what exactly was going to happen in my life and in her life and all those things. And we got on our knees and we were just in tears. And I actually said to her, we got up off our knees. I actually said to her, you know, I'm not sure that I want God to lead my life, because I have so many things that I want to do in my life. If God leads my life, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do those things. Mm. Well, I look back at that and laugh now, because I've done everything I wanted to do in my life up to that point, and my life was in a shambles.
Yeah.
I had made a mess of things because of all the decisions I made. And she looked at me. She looked me right in the face and she said, "Don't you think God has a better plan for your life than you do?" Mm-hmm. And truer words were never spoken. It had such an effect on both of us. And she'll even tell you to this day, she doesn't feel like it was her that was speaking. It was like she was inspired to say that at
sure.
that moment. You know what I mean?
I do.
But somehow words were put into her mind and in her heart to say those things. And we've never been the same since, because we recognize that God has a better plan for all of our lives, not only for us, but our children, those we come in contact with. And it begs the question, a lot of people have great ideas for how we can fix this earth, fix society, fix what's happened, all the wrongs and all the religions and all those things. But is anybody really asking, what does God want? Hmm. What is God instructing us to do? What is his word already say to us? Is anybody asking that anymore?
Doesn't seem like it.
God have a better plan, not only for my life, but a better plan for our government, for our schools, for our churches? Doesn't he have a better plan for all those things than we could possibly come up with?
So, Rick, God's better plan sometimes requires you to give up some of your wants and ideas, right? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I'm a much different person now than I was, you know, 16 years ago.
Yeah.
Much different person. I don't have the same desires. I don't have the same wants. And I understand that the best thing I can do in my life is go to God's word first and pray about the things that I need to make decisions about.
So what I hear you saying is that you've united your life, you and Mary have united your lives with God and his son, Jesus Christ.
That's it.
Amen.
And the unity that we have in our marriage is evident because we're unified with Christ Jesus. We want to do what he wants in our lives. We're unified with our Heavenly Father. It all comes down from the top. Remember, Ephesians 4 says there's one God. That's the Father of Jesus Christ. Amen. It all comes down from the top. And I'm just amazed that I would be dumb enough to think that I would have a better plan for my life than God. Now I think that I was dumb enough to think back then, but it's true. A lot of people think, I just want to do what I want to do, what feels good to me at the moment, and that's it.
Yeah.
And so, but God has a better plan.
So really it comes down to, if we were to put it into one word, surrender.
Hmm.
Right? Surrendering our lives, submitting our lives to Christ Jesus and allowing him to make the changes. And it's easier said than done at first, especially. Go ahead, Rick.
So what we're being asked to do in the political arena, in the social arena, in our society, is surrender what we know to be right and know to be good to those that are in power, or those bringing us into unity. They're asking for surrender of our principles. They're asking for surrender of things that we know God has called good. They're asking for surrender of our principles. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. In other words, let's just go ahead. Look, we're very pointed on this program sometimes, and it boils down to this, and we've talked about this in the past. Things such as, what do I do when I'm up against something and they say, look, you can't worship your God. Do I stop worshiping my God? Or they say, look, abortion is okay, and you just have to go along with that. Do I go along with that? If they tell me, look, you can't keep this day holy, or you can't worship the God that you worship. I mean, what do you do? What do you do at that point? Do you surrender to them, or do you submit to the Father and his Son? Go ahead, Rick, and Ed. Whoever wants to go first, you guys decide.
Well, there's lots of examples in the scripture of people who didn't cave in to what society or governments were telling them to do.
Very true. Go ahead, Ed.
You know, there's a story of John and Peter being jailed by the local religious leaders, and they tell them, you can't preach the name of Jesus anymore. And their response was, it's better to obey God than man.
Yes, that's right. So, you know, one of the texts that I want to look at, because let's go to Galatians first, because that's where we were headed, if you don't mind. Galatians chapter 5, and we have looked at this text on many occasions, and I just want to begin, because we're talking about being led by the Spirit of God, right? By submitting to what he wants for us. So, Ed, would you mind, would you read Galatians chapter 5, just begin in verse 16 and just kind of read through this a little bit. And your gain is a little bit back away from your mic just a little, because I was hearing just a little bit of distortion. That should be good.
Okay. Starting in verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. Least whatever you may will, these things you do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are clearly revealed, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lustfulness, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, fightings, jealousies, angers, rivalries, divisions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and things like these, of which I tell you before, as I also said before, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Let me stop you there, if I may. So does this type of behavior sound familiar when we look at the news and when we hear what's going on in the world? Does this sound like the everyday actions of what we see in the world?
Yes, certainly.
Yeah, I think anybody listening to this program tonight would say, yes, this sounds like what I'm hearing. Yeah, this is the world. This is the world that we live in. And these are the things that will keep us from having a relationship. When it says that these will not inherit the kingdom, practicing such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, means that this separates us from the Father and His Son. This behavior separates us. That's disunity. But yes. What causes unity? Go ahead, Ed, and continue, please.
Verse 22 of Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. But those belonging to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. To me, we've got a choice. We can either be united with Christ and His Father and have those attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, or be united in the flesh or in the world.
Right.
And those attributes.
That's it. And here's the thing, since you're talking about being united in either wrongdoing or doing God's will, if you believe one or the other, and you have two people that one on one side and one on the other, this causes disunity.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, those who are practicing the things that are the fruitages of the Spirit seem to be much fewer than those who are living the other way. And Jesus said that's the way it would be at the end of time. He said this is how it's going to be. The majority of people, unfortunately, will not be following the things that He says. Which brings me to a text that I'd like to share with you all. And this is found in Luke. This is found in Luke chapter 12, I believe it is. There we go. Yeah, Luke chapter 12. And Rick, would you read verses 51 through 53? Do you have that there?
I do. Luke 12:51. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one household divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law.
Okay, so we're talking about unity, but what's Jesus saying here? What causes this issue of disunity when you look at this text?
I think it's the truth.
It's the truth. That's
the people what the truth is. It causes division because some people want to hear it, some people don't.
We have seen this at the ministry of Prophecies of Hope, where we will be preaching a particular thing, and I don't have to pick any particular doctrine, but we will be standing for truth, not telling somebody, this, we're not minding their business, we're just preaching from God's word. And typically, what will happen if somebody wants to continue in their way of life? What has been our experience from this, you guys?
They'll eventually leave.
They eventually stop coming. And not that we have asked them to leave, because we don't. We don't ask anyone to leave. We want people to keep coming and keep being there. But I believe it's called a conscience. And I believe that conscience has pricked them because of the things that they're seeing. And they can't stand in the presence of Bible truth. So they remove themselves from the fellowship of the church. Go ahead, Rick.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart."
Yes. So, boy, I tell you, these passages, these are powerful passages when you put them together in the sequence that we've done here this evening, aren't they?
Yes.
And they hold us accountable. You see, this is another problem that I see in the world in which we live, is that everybody wants it the way they want it. They don't want to be held accountable for anything they do, whether it's lawful or not. It doesn't matter. Ed, you have a thought. I see you wanting to say something.
Yeah, I want to share something I read this morning in my personal study. It's from 1 Peter chapter 1. It goes along just with what you just said, starting in verse 17. And it starts out, "If you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to the work of each one, pass the time of your earthly residence in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, silver or gold, from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers," or the King James says, "from the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You know, it's just talking again, we need to be united with Christ, but God is going to judge the world.
Yes.
And we need to be aware of that fact, and we need to know what his law says so that we can be obedient to him and his law.
That's right. So what we need to do, guys, and I know we've gone over some of these texts before, I think let's take everyone to Romans chapter 6, because this kind of lays the foundation for how not only how important it is, but how do we get there? How do we get to this place where we can say, okay, I want to be separate from the world, even though I have to live in the world. I have to be in the world, but not of the world. Isn't that right?
That's right.
So, you know, the other thing is, it's really easy. As we turn to Romans chapter 6, as we turn there, for those of you who are listening in, you know, it's so easy to allow the pressures of the world, the pressure of the news, the pressure of those around us, whether it's workmate or family or friends, neighbors, whoever it is, church people, people that we know from church, to pressure us into saying, oh, well, that's okay. You know, it's all right if you do. Well, it's okay if you think that way. As long as you're a good person, it doesn't really matter. Have you guys heard that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sad, isn't it? So when I go here to Romans chapter 6, I'll tell you what. Rick, could you read a little bit of this, please? Do you have that there, Romans chapter 6?
Sure.
Just start in verse 1.
What verse?
Just begin in verse 1, and we'll just kind of go through this a little bit.
"What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein?"
Okay, now let's just for a moment, I hate to stop you, but this is talking about dying to, what was it again? What do we die to?
To self, the flesh, the world,
yes,
to sin.
Yes, in other words, we need to put those things behind us. It's called repentance. And what does repentance mean, Ed?
It means turning away from sin. Stop. Whatever that sin is.
Yeah, 180 degree direction change. You turn the other way. So we're talking about death to sin. Go ahead, Rick, in verse 3, please.
"Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died once to sin, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
There's that unity message again.
Yes, it is. Right there.
When we're united with Christ and his Father, then we have this ability to overcome sin in our lives through their power working in us.
That's it. So let's continue on. Rick, you've got it there in front of you. Ed, do you have it? You want to continue? Just read 12 through 14, Ed, if you don't mind.
Okay. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. Do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves to God as one alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace.
So just give us a summary. What are we talking about here? Rick, do you want to give us a summary? And then Ed, you can follow up if you like.
So there's a lot here, but I think it's really simple when you think about it. You know, I gave the account of the decision that Mary and I, the decisions we were making at a very low point in both of our lives. Are we going to follow God? Are we going to put to death those things in our lives that separate us from God? And so my old man was dying at that point. In other words, the person that wanted to live their own life and do their own thing and have plans to do this and plans to do that, and I've made a mess of it. God was telling me that old man needs to die. But the new man is going to follow the best plan possible, the plan that God has for him. And that's what I want to do.
There you go.
That's the decision I had to make at that time. So I don't know if that puts it in.
Yeah, it does. Sure.
I think Paul says it very well in Galatians 2:20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, what we just read about in Romans 6, and I live. Yet no longer I, but Christ lives in me. And that life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith towards the Son of God who loved me and gave himself on my behalf.
So let me ask you guys, you know, when you make this decision, you know, just for the people that are listening, when we're at a point in our life where we need to make a decision, is it always easy? Is this something that's simple and easy to do right off the bat?
I think it's especially important decisions, something like this. I mean, if you want to give your life to Christ, you need to know who he is.
Yes.
You need to know what it's about. And then you need to make that choice. Do I see more in Christ than I see in what the world has to offer? And it can be difficult because it will affect your relationships. It will affect your, maybe even your job. It has all kinds of implications that may be negative, but you have to understand, like Rick said, does God have a better plan for my life than I do?
Yeah. So go ahead, Rick.
So, like you said, the choices we have to make might not be popular with those around us, those we're closest to. But I guess ultimately we have to make a decision. Are we going to do what God wants in our lives or what everybody else wants?
Yeah. So, boy, I think Ed's battery just went dead. It says battery empty.
I'm still good. I'm still here, but okay. You just can't see me.
All right. It says battery empty, so that's not a good sign. But our program is almost empty. We're just about out of time, you guys. So this is good timing, divine timing, I would say. I guess to sum this up, In a neat little package is, you know, we were talking about unity and how the world's view of unity is not necessarily God's view of unity. you know, what the world considers unity is, well, let's just all get along and you just do what you do and I do what I do. And look, we do need to all get along, whether we have our belief differences or not. But the only way that we can truly be unified and have peace, and only the peace that God can give us, is by going by the things that are written in His Word and showing these fruitages of God's Spirit that we read in Galatians chapter 5. That will literally change you from the inside out. It will make you a new person simply by submitting, by giving your life over, and by following the things that Christ does.
You've got to realize that unity in Christ and His Father means continuing to reach out to the rest of the world to tell them about this message.
Amen. So, look, it's hard to believe. We're out of time, guys. This has been a great study. We'll pick it up again next week. Maybe we can continue in this theme a little bit, because I'm sure there's a lot more that we can talk about here. And to close, Rick, would you mind closing with prayer for us, please?
Sure. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just praise You for the time spent today studying Your Word, looking at this subject of unity. Father, we want to be unified with You. And that means forgetting what the world wants, doing away with those things that are of the world and overcoming the world. But You don't leave us to do it on our own. You've given us Your Son. Father, help us to accept Christ into our lives. Please bless those listening this evening. And Father, we just ask that You give us wisdom and knowledge to do Your will in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, brothers, I thank you very much for being here. Friends, I'm glad you tuned in. You join us here again next Sunday, 7 p.m. New Visions Radio. That's 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.